is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Europe in the grip of a heat wave. Europe under pressure by Russia. A possible cutoff of natural gas, or worse than that, natural gas to be restored whimsically, week by week, depending upon Europe in a war in Ukraine. The European Union, at the same time, is now facing the threat of a recession, unless it's already here. And one way to interpret all this is the euro, the common currency developed in the 20th century to solve all these problems of competing economies and beggar thy neighbor policies to do with tariffs. I welcome Simon Constable, writing for Time magazine, about the euro, the currency euro, not a person, a currency like a dollar, except that it's too much like a dollar. And what can explain this word parity? Where did it come from? And what does it mean about the U.S. and Europe, about the U.S. traveler in Europe, and especially about the U.S. investor in Europe? Simon, a very good evening to you. The Your Peace and Time magazine is revelatory. I want to begin with that the news is tumbling upon you in Scotland as if one gloomy story after another. The euro that you use when you go to the continent and when you travel on the continent has gone near the dollar or below the dollar. What explains this tumble? You talk to a lot of people who either say they saw it coming or shrug and go, what are we going to do now? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. Yes, it is fascinating. Basically, a few days ago, a dollar would fetch a euro, whereas a year and a half ago, a euro would fetch $1.20. So that's been basically a 20% decline, and that's quite a huge decline for a major currency. It's the second most important currency in the world, so it comes after the dollar. What's basically been happening is that the fight on inflation in the U.S. has been much more aggressive than it has in Europe. What the Federal Reserve has done is to put up the cost of borrowing money, put up interest rates much faster than the European Central Bank. In fact, the European Central Bank basically hasn't moved. It will move, but it's very slow. And that partly reflects that Europe's much more fragile than America's. America is a robust economy. It's very diverse. It's an amazing tech industry. It doesn't exist in mainland Europe. Not much anyway, a little bit. And maybe it'll catch up one day, but not for the foreseeable future. So if you're an investor, you want to put your money into dollars because you can get, you know, quite a lot more money in interest than you can in the euro. In fact, if you put your money in the euro, you're still going to get a negative rate, at least for the next few days. That may change, but it'll still be way behind what the U.S. is offering. And that's what the money flows are doing, is people are saying, okay, I can hold euros or I can hold dollars. They're choosing to hold dollars at this time. And yes, there is a risk that the European economy falls into a recession. And a lot of that will revolve around what happens in Germany, which is the biggest and most robust economy on the continent.
So if I understand correctly, it's the discord between the European Central Bank. Christine Lagarde is the European Central Banker, the equivalent of the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and Jerome Powell, who is expected within these next days to vouchsafe the raising of rates in the U.S., which have been historically low for a long time, easy money for a long time. Another 0.75 point, possible one is talked about, but 0.75 looks to be the signaling from the markets. And that may continue the rest of the year. Now, there is talk that the ECB will raise rates to 0.5 point. My reading of this course is that it brings it back to zero. Very strange to talk about zero interest as tightening, but it's all relative. Now, Simon, to be fair-minded, the European Union grows differently than the U.S. Traditionally, yes, you grow slower. And so, therefore, yes, that adjusts everybody's expectations. However, this plunge of the euro was not expected. There was no talk about it. So we have to turn to what to do if you're traveling to Europe or if you're an investor in Europe. I was struck by the conversation you had with several of your informants that investing in Europe now is wise. Did I read that correctly?
Absolutely, because Money-making assets. I mean, when I say that the European economy is not as robust as America's, that doesn't mean it is not valuable. There are plenty of profitable businesses there. And if you're buying in dollars, they are now 20% cheaper than they were 18 months ago. And that's a good discount to look at. So, you know, you've got real estate, which can be purchased there. That can be commercial real estate, office blocks. That could also be, a little holiday home in Tuscany, for people who've been wanting one of those every year and just needed a 20% discount. Well, now they've got it. And maybe prices will be even better on that front. But there are also businesses to buy, small businesses, medium businesses, maybe buying into European stocks, that sort of thing. And that's what Mark Chandler is. He's with Bannockburn Global Forex, which is a currency trading company, but he's advising his international clients, say, look, think about snapping up some assets in Europe now. It is really cheap. And, undoubtedly, the euro will eventually bounce back. It may be a while, but investments are things that don't turn around in a day. You don't make a profit in a couple of weeks. You might have to wait a few years. It all sounds very reasonable to me. The big, as we've discussed, the big issue is how deep will the European recession be and when or if it will start.
Now, the puzzle about investing in Europe is, are you getting a pig in a poke? In other words, you say there are businesses that are profitable, but you just raised the problem. We're on the unsure side of the recession. You have very large inflation in London. There's equally alarming inflation in Europe. So despite the inflationary environment, despite the possibility of a recession, the investor class is still encouraged to buy European assets. You mentioned property. That would be very attractive because they're not making any more of it, whereas they can make a lot more stocks. We know this. They can issue a lot more stock.
So, absolutely. And to your point about investing in, just before a recession, which could make things even worse, it's the best opportunities are when everything is looking really, really bad and everyone is feeling really, really pessimistic. So if you could have persuaded people to buy in big investments in March of 2009, you'd have probably been looked at as crazy. And maybe now people are thinking, well, that's crazy to do that now, but it's looking dark. It's looking bad. The outlook isn't looking optimistic. Well, that probably means you're going to get a better deal. And you look back in 10 years and you'll be like, well, I'm glad I did that. Yes, I bit all my nails off in the next 2 years, but I made a lot of money. And I think that's what investors have to get over, particularly new investors. It's hard to make good trades.
Simon reminds me that he and I were first together commenting on the world economy in the crash of 2009. We enjoyed ourselves enormously, especially by talking about something that at the time was mocked as the pigs. That would be Portugal, Italy, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. And of course, Simon, we can entertain now if we had moved then to buy assets in all those countries. We'd be very happy in 2022.
Yes, we would be very, very happy in 2022. And, in the big scheme of things, it's not that long ago. And yet it was a very dark time. It was if you actually went to bed in the evening, you could wake up finding that another couple of banks had died.
Also now, the euro and the traveler. There are, believe it or not, Americans who are coming to Europe. We understand. We've seen Heathrow pictures. We understand. The ratings of the worst airports in Europe now have to be expanded from 10 to, 20 or 25. We understand that luggage is not expected to show up within weeks. In fact, I just talked to Bucharest about a trip to Italy where the informant traveled nicely, but the luggage was some delayed 3 or 4 days, so there had to be an extra trip to the airport. I imagine all of Europe is like this. It's a tangle of not enough workers at the airports and the airlines being overwhelmed with demand. However, what is the advantage of traveling to Europe now, given the near parity of the euro? Are there bargains? Are people slashing prices to attract American tourists?
Well, I think Europe could do with all the tourists it can get now. I wouldn't carry luggage with you. I would just arrive with hand luggage and then buy more clothes if you need them when you arrive. Yes, things will be a lot cheaper. Things will be 20% cheaper there than they were before. On average, as long as you don't want to hire a car and pay for the gasoline, which will be very expensive by U.S. standards, if you're happy to fly in, take a taxi to where you're staying and enjoy the beautiful hot weather and some nice cocktails on the beach and maybe go for a swim, then you'll have a lovely time. And I don't think it'll be very crowded because, as we've been saying, the economy in Europe is looking quite a lot more shaky than is the economy in America.
Spain is having a big tourist moment. I believe that's the convergence of American tourists and British tourists. We've all agreed to meet somewhere on the beaches of Spain. There are, however, challenging issues in Europe. And I'm speaking to Simon Constable, writing at Time about the euro. But the story of the European Union is not easily solved because people are shopping. So when we come back, the climate, Simon mentions, at the same time, the spike in inflation prices that has hit a 40-year high every time it's reported in the UK. The politics of this, because there is a contest underway in the Conservative Party for the Prime Minister to replace the now resigning Boris Johnson. And then the challenge of, in general, the question of Russian energy and what is to be done in future. If this is to become a regular occurrence, a contest with Moscow, over can we turn the air conditioning on, can we turn the heating on, depending on the season. I'm John Batchelor.